Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Happy Canada Day weekend to absolutely everybody out there. And, man, have we got a good show lined up for you tonight. A lot of good racing this past weekend and still going on, actually, tonight at a lot of short tracks across the country and down into the U.S., and we're going to talk to a bunch tonight. Some guys that have won races this weekend, some guys that are still looking for some wins, but nevertheless, we're going to have a good time here tonight on Racetime. So glad you could tune in. On SiriusXM Channel 167, and of course, right here on racetimeradio.com. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. And there is no Junior tonight. No, he's been a busy cat all weekend. Of course, spotting for Andrew Ranger in the NASCAR Pinty Series is what Junior does on a full-time basis. He was there, Chaudière, Quebec, this weekend. Did the Pinty's race yesterday, and he hightailed it back here to Ontario, and tonight he's spotting for the number 81 of Andrew Grizel out at Sauble Speedway. It is night number two for those guys. But speaking of Chaudière and the NASCAR Pinty Series, tonight we're going to catch up with the winner. That's right, we got him. We got Raphael Lazard's going to join the show. We're going to talk to him in mere seconds. I believe Sue's got him up on the hotline. We're going to get right to him here in a moment. Want to also tell you that we're going to talk PEI tonight, Oyster Bed Speedway. That's where we were supposed to be yesterday. Unfortunately, due to rain, the weekend got canceled. I got the details on what is going to be coming at us. And Bill Kinney, the promoter, owner of Oyster Bed Speedway on PEI, is going to join us. And we'll get all the details and get you all set for the Oyster Bed Speedway 150 that will be coming up. We'll also hear from the number 8 of Kent Vincent, two-time winner of the IWK 250 in that Parts for Trucks tour. He had a Raphael outing the last time out, destroyed the number 8. We'll catch up with Kent, find out how things come back together, and I know he's ready to race once again. We'll check in with Kent Vincent here tonight. We'll also talk to another winner that went to Victory Lane at Delaware Speedway this weekend in the Superstock class. We've heard from him a couple times this year. We're going to hear from him again tonight as a winner. Rick Verburn is going to join us on the show. Then, how about this? Austin Terrio. He's going to make his Cup debut. Isn't that super news? The number 52 is what Austin's going to be in. And Austin Terrio is going to join us in our number 2. We got so much to cover off, and we should maybe even have some time to open up the phone lines and take your calls here tonight. But what do you say we get to the hotline, and let's bring in, how about the winner from yesterday at Chaudière, Quebec? I believe it's even Raphael's home track. We have him on the hotline. We have Raphael Lazard with us. Raphael, how you doing, buddy?
Good, yeah.
Fantastic, man. Hey, congratulations. Your first Pindies win. Good for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was awesome. First time in the NASCAR Pinty Series, and first win. I think I couldn't ask for anything better than that.
Man, you did an awesome job. I didn't actually catch the race myself, but I had a look over social media, and I'll tell you what, you got fans standing, cheering, and on the edge of their seat, my friend. You did an awesome job.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome to win my first NASCAR Pinty's race in front of all my family was there. And all my friends from Quebec, and this racetrack is where I started racing. So it's just awesome, and it was amazing. And I just can't thank anyone that helped us in making it possible. Such a big result, and my team to make up competition, and just the whole crew that got me an awesome car.
Well, when you got a good ride, like I know those Dumoulin guys put together, and you got a dynamite driver that you are, that's usually your recipe for success. And, man, at Chaudière, Quebec, just yesterday, you guys went to victory lane. What do you think of the NASCAR Pindy Series?
Oh, I think it's a great series. Yeah, I've always, when I grew up watching it at Chaudière, and I always wanted to race in one of those NASCAR Pindy Series. It's awesome. There's good, a lot of good drivers, like LP, Andrew Ranger, and Alex Tagliani, Kevin LaCroix, and they're all really good, and it's just pretty competitive, and those guys know what they're doing. They've been in this series for a long time, so I was not expecting to be running out front with those guys like I did, but, man, halfway through the race, the class of the field, the car was never fall off, really. It just kept going, and we were being smooth, and I couldn't ask for anything better.
Oh, man, you got to love it when a plan comes together. I believe you rolled off six to start the race out, and it was what, like right around that lap 150 mark is where you took the lead of that race, and you didn't look back. After you got that lead, man, it was on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we took the lead on lap 140, right before halfway break, and we put tire on, and the car was pretty good. We just fine-tuned it a little bit at the break, and the car was even better. We were just trying to save as much as we could, because we had a pretty good gap between the guy in second, but we needed to keep our tires under us for if there was a late race restart. But yeah, there was a bunch of cautions, so I had to work pretty hard on those restarts and try to do my best and stay focused and make no mistake, and that's what I did, and it was awesome. I think the race was just great, and it went really well. Nobody did it, and my team did no mistake. They did an awesome job, and I think I did everything I could, and we ended up winning.
Well, I'll tell you, the 74 car, that bumper-to-bumper dodge of Kevin LaCroix that finishes race up second, man, he'll keep you honest on those restarts. That guy gets up on the wheel, as most of those drivers do in the Pindy Series. But when you could come away with a win against the guys you came out against this weekend, Raphael, you really did something. You're an accomplished racer, man. I've seen you this year. In the ARCA series, you just about won that race, too. You've been around, and how's the season been so far?
Oh, it's been way better than I thought, because, like, in January, I wasn't sure about anything about my racing career, and now I signed two races in the truck series with Kyle Busch Motorsport. I did two ARCA races with KDR, one Canon race, and now a Pinty's race, so I'm just trying to learn as much as I can about those big race cars and every race car, like Truck Series and ARCA, and just trying to learn from the best, like Kyle Busch. And that's when he talks, I try to get every advice I can, and just to learn as quick as I can, because it's hard when you get to those level and you got to compete with some guys that have won their championship and that have a lot more experience than you, so you just got to study a lot and try to learn that very quickly.
Well, and you know what? You're like a sponge, too. That information, you soak it up, you utilize it, and you put it to the test behind the wheel, and that's the cool part. I'll tell you, you got fans on both sides of the border that have watched you come through those short track races and now starting to shine in the upper levels and on your way to the top, I do believe. It's really cool as a fan, I got to tell you, Raphael, for us to be standing back here watching you do what you do, especially with Kyle Busch Motorsports. Let's face it, Kyle, when he gets a driver in one of his machines, he expects those guys to perform. We've seen the pressure that he's added, to guys like Burton that is behind the wheel now, young Harrison Burton, and the driver of the Ford truck. Pressure's on for those guys, and they do perform. It's kind of cool when you're in good equipment and you've got talent to go out on that racetrack and shine. Dynamite to watch. What do you got coming up with this Pindies win? Do you think we're going to see you back in the Pindies series at all in 2019?
Oh, yeah. I would love to if I get an opportunity. But I'm trying to focus as much as I can in the U.S. and race as much as I can there. But if I get an opportunity and some partners and sponsor for maybe two other races, because I'm going to race the Mossport race in truck series. So it would be great if I could run the Pinty's race there before. It would give me an idea of what it is to drive around Mossport. So, and maybe we'll talk with the team, because I think we had a very good first time together. So hopefully there's some more opportunity that come in the future.
I bet they can't wait to get you back behind the wheel of one of those Dumoulin machines. I'll tell you what, anybody would be very wise to pick you up and get you in one of those cars. Speaking of CTMP, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, the Silverado 250 weekend is coming up. We can't wait for that. It is our ultimate NASCAR weekend, where you get the Silverado 250 with the Gander Mountain Truck Series. You also get the NASCAR Pindy Series, as we're discussing here. To see you in both those races would be just spectacular. Raphael, do you have much experience on a road course?
A little bit. I've done one more road course last year in Three River in a lay model. And I've done a couple in the Sportsman Series when I grew up racing when I was like 12 or 13 years old. So, yeah, and I got some good advice, and I went to kind of his Andrew Ranger school, or he kind of taught me how to turn right pretty much. And he's given me a bunch of advice, and I think if I go back there, I'm going to have to call him, that's for sure, and maybe go one day to his academy so I can learn some more about road race.
He's a hell of a teacher, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Andrew Ranger is super good on road course. He's a very good driver, and I just I've been looking at him since I was like maybe 10 years old. So that's he's a good friend of mine now. So I also have GF Dumoulin, LP Dumoulin, that can help me a lot on that side. So just we'll see. I should be fine after a couple of laps of practice.
Yeah, you will be. You're surrounded by the right people, I can guarantee. LP Dumoulin, man, you know, our last year's champion in the NASCAR Pindy Series, he loves that kind of place. LP's had a lot of success at CTMP, and so has Andrew Ranger. I'll tell you what, though, soon as Raphael Lazard gets into the car, those guys may not be so nice. They're not going to tell you nothing anymore.
Oh, yeah, I know. But that's why with Andrew and all those guys, I'm going to ask for advice in the truck series. But if I do race the Pinty's car against them, they probably won't tell me a lot of advice about those cars there. So, yeah, it's racing is part of it. It's just when we get behind the wheel and we put our helmet on, we're not really friends anymore. All we want to do is win the race and try to beat the other guy in front of you.
Pretty amazing stuff. Also finishing up the Chaudière race third was a guy that struggled the last couple races, Alex Labbé. He ended up finishing third. Good to see Alex turn the corner and start turning it on too. Yet another one of those guys you got to watch out for a win in the NASCAR Pindy Series. Hey, I got to ask you, Raphael, looking on social media in one shot, I seen a picture of you and our good friend Bruno Gaillet. How's he doing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is he okay?
Oh, yeah. He had a surgery like two days ago, and he was spotting for me during the lay model race last night. So he's kind of crazy. I told him he needs to rest. He needs to rest a bit more. But, he's good. He's been a good friend of mine since I first started racing, so he's a very good guy.
Yeah, oh, they don't cut him out any better than Bruno Gaillet, I'll tell you. I always look forward to catching up with the big guy when I see him. I seen him in that photo, and I thought, man, didn't he just have a heart operation? And now he's out spotting. I can't believe it.
Yeah, he's a real one.
He sure is. So the next race, where can we see you next? What's your next race that's on your schedule?
I'm going to do a Le Mans race on my home track on July 27th. And my next race in the U.S. for right now is in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series on August 15th at Bristol, Tennessee. So that's going to be a good one. I love this racetrack. It's a lot of fun, a lot of banking, and it's super fast. So I think we should be pretty good.
Awesome stuff, Raphael. This has been exciting catching up with you tonight. And, thanks so much for sharing the time with us to help celebrate what is your first NASCAR Pindy's win. Good on you. I'll tell you, you beat the best when you went out and beat the guys you did. And just proves how much talent you got, my friend.
Thank you very much for your time.
And we'll catch up with you soon, right? Social media. Everybody can stay with you on social media, right? You're on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Raphael SR. And everyone can follow me. And if they have any questions, they can ask us and we'll answer them. So thanks a lot for having me on this show.
Absolutely. We appreciate your time. We sure do. And I know we look forward to getting you on. We'll get you on for sure before that CTMP and that Silverado 250 weekend, if not before, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Raphael Lazard. How about it? Winner, Chatillier, Quebec, just yesterday. Dynamite stuff for him to go out and beat these guys. Trust me, you know about the NASCAR Pinty Series. Man, it doesn't get any harder. The competition level this year is outstanding in that NASCAR Pindy Series. And looking back through the results, I believe Andrew Ranger finished the race up fourth. And as mentioned there, Alex Labbe finishes the race third. But you know what? That is a past champion. Alex back into the series, ran, of course, last year full time in the NASCAR Xfinity Series down there with Mario Gosselin. Didn't get that ride this year. Like, things didn't work out for him. He needs the sponsorship, and he'd be back in that series in a heartbeat. And well-deserved. Tell you what, if you're a corporate company in Canada, you want to get involved with a really good race car driver with opportunity to run in the U.S., guys like Raphael Lazard, Alex Labbe, there's a whole pile of drivers here in Canada that I'm telling you could go down and shine like you wouldn't believe. They just need the support. And I know Canada is getting closer to locking in one of those companies and one of these drivers. And I'll tell you, when it all happens, it's going to be sweet music for absolutely every Canadian race fan. And I can't wait for the day. It really is deserved of these guys. They would give a company well worth their money in promotion, and in results. That's what everybody wants. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk, how about the Pro Stock Tour? Yeah, it was supposed to be a PEI this weekend. We were going to do the race live. The Oyster Bed Speedway 150. Rain came in, and not only squashed Saturday, but it was going to squash Sunday too. So they scrubbed the whole weekend. And we're going to get you all the details on where you can see the Parts for Trucks Tour at Oyster Bed Speedway. We'll get you all the details on that race, and it is going to be coming up. We're going to do that with Bill Kinney, the promoter owner of Oyster Bed Speedway. We're going to do that right on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We're just getting started here tonight on Racetime Radio.
Hello, race fans. I'm Justin Holton from the number 17 top hat of the ACT Series, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grousedale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio Worldwide, Saturday, July 13th, for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca. Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in here tonight on Sirius XM Channel 167. I'm Joe Chisholm, flying solo tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. But the good part is, everybody, we got a great guest lineup for you. And that great guest lineup is going to continue right now as we get back to the hotline. And we got to welcome in the owner promoter from Oyster Bed Speedway in PEI, beautiful PEI. It is Bill Kinney. He's with us. Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Joe. And you?
Not too bad at all. Man, I was bummed out at the Toronto airport. I had the Racetime Radio crew. We were all set to fly out, and all of a sudden my phone went bing. I looked down, and it was my bud Ken from the Pro Stock Tour. He says, man, the rain is going to get us this weekend, Joe. We got to cancel the weekend, and I'll tell you, there's a bunch of sad faces. I can imagine, Bill, you would have had a sad face, too. You're probably looking forward to the Oyster Bed 150.
Oh, we always look forward to the tour coming to our track. Always a big crowd and good racing.
Absolutely. Bill, this is the first time we've ever had you on Racetime Radio. Shame on me, man. I should have had you on 1,000 times before tonight. But anyway, at least we got you tonight. Tell us about Oyster Bed Speedway. How close are you to Charlottetown? That's the main center, right, of PEI?
That's the capital and the biggest city, yeah, and where the airport is. We're about 15 minutes from the airport. Downtown Charlottetown.
Man, just 15 minutes away. So I guess you, the island isn't all that big, right? I would imagine you get folks from everywhere across PEI coming to the speedway.
She's only 310 miles tip to tip, so we can get them from both ends in the middle.
You got to love it. Tell us about the Speedway itself, Bill.
It's a little quarter mile paved. It's been in operation now for 34 years. My partners and I, we bought it 10 years ago. It was starting to get a little run down, and we put a little money into it. New fencing, some pavement, canteens, washrooms, grandstands. We have a nice little facility now.
And, you know, there's never an end, right? When you own a facility, there's never an end to what you could spend money on. But the window, the season is always so small, it's tough to fit everything in, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've only got, you know, 15, 16 weeks tops without rain, and it hasn't been a good year this year, early anyway, for the rain.
No, it's been terrible.
We've had to, this was our second event. Well, we've canceled three. One we got in on the Sunday, but this is the second one that we haven't got in yet.
You know, Sunset Speedway here in Ontario, a similar story. Got to tell you, they've been trying since April, and I don't think Brian Todish over there at Sunset Speedway has got any more than like three events in. They've struggled. They got a couple of key ones in. We were there on the May long weekend, and we broadcasted the APC race from there. It was an outstanding race in a beautiful racetrack. I'll tell you what, the weather has not cooperated with a lot of speedways this year, and it really hurts.
That's usually when we open, is that long weekend in May, and it rained here, and we lost it. And that's, you know, we usually get big crowds out for that because we also, that's our first, our annual demo derby. So
yeah,
it kind of, it hurts when you lose the good weekends.
Yeah, and you can, there's no making them up, right? You want to make that up, you got to wait till May next year to do it.
Yeah, like you can make it up on another weekend or whatever, but you're not going to get the crowd that you would get on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, you know? It's a tough deal, guaranteed. But the good news is the Parts for Trucks Tour and the Oyster Bed Speedway 150 that was going to take place this weekend, you guys got to move now to next Saturday, which is great news.
It's good that we had that next Saturday open and the tour was also free. Not scheduled to be anyplace else, but here on the island, like I said, we're 15 minutes from Charlottetown, but we're also 15 minutes from the nicest beaches in Canada out there in Cavendish, and they're having a big music festival. So.
Oh, man. But you know what? Those race fans are going to come right through that crowd. They're going to come right through that and head for the Speedway. I can see it's coming.
Race fans are race fans. Music fans are music fans. Who I think we'll do all right.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, was there plans? Did you have plans, Bill, to run on Saturday anyway? Like, will this be an extension of what you had planned for Saturday?
No, we hadn't scheduled that Saturday because of this music festival, given our, you know, drivers and families a chance if they wanted to go. So it's still not going to hurt us too bad because we only have two of our own local classes racing.
Yeah.
Good. With the tour anyway, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let's talk about those classes that you do run on a regular basis at Oyster Bed Speedway. What all do you guys run?
We run Bandoleros, our first year with the Bandoleros, trying to get the kids interested. And for our first year, we've got 9 cars in the class, which is, you know, pretty good for just starting.
Absolutely.
And then we also run Legends. We run a 4-cylinder class. We run a 4-cylinder Honda class. We run an 8-cylinder street stock class. And we have our own little class of pro stocks.
Gotta love it. And I know you fired them up. What was that, 2 years ago? Or was it last year that you actually put them on a regular basis?
Last year was the first time.
Mm.
And we've got 10 of them, you know, second year.
That's cool. It really is. What I've noticed, Bill, and we've been covering the tour and following the tour for, I believe this is our 9th full season of, you know, going full blast and doing live races with the tour. And the contingent from PEI, the guys that participate in the Parts for Trucks tour that come off the island, there's a whole herd of them. You got like eight or nine real solid race teams.
Regulars with the tour, Yeah.
And then
on their off weekends with the tour, they'll come out here and run with my fellas.
Oh, man, that's got to be good news.
Yeah, well, they'll help our fellas because they're all new at it. And, it works for everybody. They get to tune. It's a kind of a paid test and tune for them because they're probably going to win the race, but yet they get to test their cars.
Absolutely. And they're teaching the whole time. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff. When you look at the contingent that does come from out there, one thing that I've really picked up on, when I talk to guys like Chris Hughes and Allison McKinnon and all those guys, the roots go deep in PEI. They started out at Oyster Bed Speedway. They love that racetrack. And when they come home for a tour race, all of those guys want to win. The only thing is there's only going to be one of them.
That's right. Like you take Allison McKinnon. He's been racing here. Well, Allison can fire up his car and not bother to put it on trailer because he just has to cross the highway and he's at the track.
Yeah, and I imagine some nights those boys would do it.
Oh, some of the old street stock fellas used to, yeah.
Yeah, they'd be having spotters out, not on the racetrack, but on the road, making sure there's no coppers coming either way. Okay, boys, go.
Yep.
Yeah, too funny. I know we're looking forward to getting out there. The unfortunate part, at least at this particular moment in time, we've done some checking into it, trying to get flights arranged to get out there. And what the airlines love to do is the closer you get to a date that you want to fly on, the more they jack the price up. And now it is outer space to try and fly out there. To make next weekend's race. We are scheduled to be at PEI Oyster Bed Speedway once again in August. We got the August race all set. Flights are all done. Everything's ready. But I don't know how it's all going to shake out this week to try and be there to broadcast the race next Saturday night. We're going to try, but I can't promise anybody anything. Of course, cost does come into play. And,
for sure.
It really hurt us this time around, I can tell you. With things getting canceled, but what do you do? It's weather.
Yeah, we can't control the weather.
No.
We can do a lot of things about other stuff, but we can't do nothing about the weather.
Exactly. Camping. I want to touch on that for fans that may be over in New Brunswick or in Nova Scotia. Or maybe fans are traveling across the country and didn't realize that they could come out and see a race next Saturday night at Oyster Bed Speedway. Is there camping available?
Well, we had campers coming in Wednesday night for our race Saturday. There's still 20 of them up there. They said, we're on the island, we're going to stay for the weekend and the Canada Day festivities here. And we can hold probably quite easily 75 to 100 campers.
Oh, gotta love it. Now, do you gotta reserve a spot if that's the case?
Nope.
If you're gonna roll in, you don't need to reserve?
Nope. And then right on the other side of the tree line, outside turns 1 and 2, is another campground, which usually has spaces.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fans are covered off.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Tickets, Bill, for the Oyster Bed Speedway 150. Do we roll up to the gate and buy tickets? Can we buy tickets in advance? Because I'll bet you she's going to be full.
No, we have no way. We haven't figured out a way or selling them in advance. But we can seat 3,000, and there's never usually a problem getting a ticket to get in.
Gotta love it. And there's always lots of space to stand if, by chance, those seats are all full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you stand all the way around turns 3 and 4. You know, we've lots of seating on the back stretch, lots of seating on the front stretch. You know, it's, we get our biggest crowds with the tour in, but we've never, ever had to turn anybody away.
Well, that's a good thing and a bad thing. In a way, we got to fill that place up so it's busting at the britches.
That's the way we'd like to see it, yep.
Absolutely.
Sure. Every promoter would like to see his track full.
Yeah, every single night.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of cool to see it in PEI next Saturday night. The race, what time is it going to get underway? What time should fans be at the Speedway?
Racing starts at 6. And I would say if, you know, to get a good seat, you want to be there about 4:30. You know,
yeah.
The racing starting at 6 o'clock.
You don't want to miss a minute of it.
No. And then you get to see the whole show. You know, there's no, we try to keep it moving right along, keep fans interested. We have a pretty good announcer. You know, he kind of keeps the interest up as well.
Good deal. And what will run with the Parts for Trucks tour?
With the tour, we've got, it's a qualifying race for Bandoleros and Legends towards the Nationals. And we have a 50-lap Honda four-cylinder feature, and then the 150 with the Pro Stocks.
Gotta love it. Man, sounds like a nice full night. It's going to be good value ticket prices for adults. If you got that handy, what would it cost somebody for an adult? What can they expect?
The adult ticket price in the grandstand is $30 and $35 in the pits. Youth ages 8 to 15 is $10, and under 8 is free.
Man, you can't beat that with a stick, can you?
No. It's a full evening of entertainment, family fun, good canteen service. You know, just a place to bring the family and have a good time.
And with the name Oyster Bed Speedway, I'll bet you sell more than fries there, too. You got oysters.
I wish we did. I wish we did.
Yeah. Oh,
but there's lots of good eating spots, and you can get lots of mussels and oysters and lobster.
I wouldn't doubt it. Listening to Brad Mann, of course, one of our color guys on Racetime Radio, he loves coming to PEI. He said the food is the best there that it is anywhere.
Oh, it's pretty good eating, yeah.
He said the beer's always cold, too. I don't know. It's Brad Mann.
Well, yeah, there's always cold beer around somewhere.
After all.
We could manage to find it.
After all, we are Canadian.
Right.
You want to believe it. No. Bill, this has been great catching up with you tonight. It's going to be a dynamite race next Saturday night. Oyster Bed Speedway out in PEI. Fans don't want to miss it. Man, if you're going to be out that way, you got to go check this race out. Great value. And I bet you could even meet Bill Kenny if you'd like.
Oh, I'm usually there wandering around somewhere.
Good stuff. Bill, we appreciate your time tonight on Racetime. And good luck with the event. You never know. We could be there. And if we are, we're going to know within the next couple of days.
You call me and let me know. We'll be glad to accommodate you.
Absolutely. If not, we will see you in August. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, well, we're going again with the same Pro Stock Tour and another 150.
Yeah, it's going to be off the rails. Bill, thanks so much for the time. We surely appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
You betcha. That's Bill Kenny out at Oyster Bed Speedway, out in PEI. They got a great website as well. Have a look at it. You got some time and you've never checked out Oyster Bed Speedway, check it out online. I can't wait to get to that speedway. It looks like a tight, confined speedway. It's going to provide excellent racing. I know talking to guys like Greg Proud, the number 29, the big old red Dodge guy. He's from PEI. He loves that racetrack. He says, Joe, I'm going to win this one. And then, you know, you talk to a guy like Darren McKinnon, driver of the number 18 for Shaw's Towing. That guy is also from PEI. He said, that's my home track, man. I'm going to win at that speedway. And the list goes on and on. You got guys like Dylan Gosby. How can we forget about a guy like Kent Vincent? We're going to hear from him next here on Racetime Radio. Another guy that when you talk Oyster Bed Speedway, this speedway's in my backyard. I know it. I could drive it blindfolded, and they all want to win it. There's only going to be one. And you never know. Our next guest could be the guy to take the checkered flag next weekend in that Oyster Bed 150. We'll find out if his car's ready, because I'll tell you, at Scotia Speed World, just, a little over a week ago, the number 8 was destroyed, and I mean destroyed. I don't know exactly how bad it was, but we're going to find out all the details and find out how it looks for next weekend, and we're going to do that next. Right on the other side of the break, Kent Vincent will join us here on Racetime Radio. We're going to step out just for a moment, and we'll come back with Kent. Stay with us.
Hey, race fans. Donald Chisholm from Riverside Speedway in Nova Scotia, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grisdale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide. Saturday, July 13th. For the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
On Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Here we go. Oh, man. Welcome back to Racetime Radio. Sure appreciate you dialing this in tonight and having a listen. You could be listening on Sirius XM Channel 167, and we sure do appreciate it. Of course, Canada Talks, our home, our flagship. Or maybe you're tuned in through the week on 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Welcome to you. Or how about the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com? Over a couple of times throughout the course of the week, you hear airing of this program. We want to welcome all of our U.S. listeners down that way. Or how about Gearhead Country Radio? Or maybe you're listening on demand. If you happen to have missed any of the show, you want to go back and have a listen to the whole program, We sure appreciate it. Just get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, and don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button when you're there. And cool part is you do that, and you will get the new Racetime Radio each and every time we do an episode. It'll automatically get loaded right to you, and you will be all set. You'll never miss Racetime Radio again. You'll never be a lap down. You won't be looking for a lucky duck. How about that? Enough chitter-chatter. What do you say we get back out here and we'll grab Kent Vincent, driver of the number 8 from out in PEI. He's a two-time winner of the IWK 250. Pretty tough to do, I can tell you that. And he's a guy that didn't have a very good day the last time out at Scotia Speed World in the Nova Truck Center's Make-A-Wish 150. It was more of a nightmare than it was a wish for Kent Vincent. But we got him on the hotline. Hey, Kent, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Joe. Great to hear from you, bud.
Hey, you've probably been the busiest car owner, and your crew has probably been up there with you. Probably busier than anybody else across this country this last week. How are you making out?
Well, pretty good. Everybody wrecks. Everybody knows the deal, how to, what they need to do to get done. Very fortunate. I got a couple good bosses, Rodney and Dwayne, give me the week off from my paying job and let me stay home for the week and fix the race car up. And kudos to the wife, for Kim, for not putting up with me for a week around the house and doing my own chores. And thanks for them for letting me do what needs to be done.
Buddy, I got to tell you, I was very, very happy to see that you were moving around pretty good when you got out of that wrecked race car on Saturday night at Scotia Speed World. Are you still feeling the effects in the body, or how did you come away that way? I know the car didn't do well, but how's the body?
The body's fine. No, great. Got a Butterfield seat and Simpson belts and Honda's device and impact helmet, and everything was, all that stuff worked the way it should. And kudos to the safety crew for getting there right quick. And I know Kyle's all right. He got out. We both had a little quick chat after it was all done. And no, that part was all good. Cars are built safe, and like I say, the poor city car held up when it needs to, and away we go. So that was good to go.
You gotta love it when that happens. You know, like when everything does what it's supposed to do. I'm gonna ask you about the wreck, Kent. And then we're going to erase that wreck out of your mind somehow or another. We're going to reach you this radio and take it out of your mind so that you can continue on. But what actually happened? I seen the two of you, you and Kyle Reed, both sideways pretty well on the racetrack, full throttle heading into the fence, nose first. How did you two get like that?
I get in a little bit hot, Joe, going into three. Got loose, had the thing sliding sideways, trying to correct it. Kyle was trying to avoid me. He ended up into my, into the left front, and the two of us ended up into the wall. One of those deals. It wasn't his fault, it wasn't my fault, just one of those deals. I get in a little bit hot and lost control of the car a little bit and tried to collect it. Anyway, the end of the day, that was there, and then the 32 went into us afterwards.
Yeah, and you know what? It happens, right? Like, when it's a racing deal like that was, you don't expect it, but you kind of do. Over your career, that's going to happen when you're racing competitively. And when those wheels actually make contact, you're just along for the ride at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Kyle was, no doubt, he was trying to avoid us or whatever, and you're there. Things are happening pretty fast. Cars are carrying a lot of speed coming out of four, heading down the front stretch. And like I say, once you hit and the cars get pointed in one direction, you're into the wall, and that's all you can do. And I'm just glad that both of us are all right.
Yeah, mirror image. I can tell you, the 42 of Kyle Reed and yourself, it was a mirror image wreck. I'm watching it going, how did this even happen? To see the two of you guys make impact exactly side by side, right against the front stretch wall. But I'm glad to hear you're okay. Let's talk about the car now. I haven't seen one wrecked like that on a short track where the nose was pushed in as far as you and the 42. How bad was that car? It didn't look good.
No, the cars, we just kind of have it sitting in the shop here now under evaluation. We had the old car built. Gary Crooks offered from Port City, offered to come down to Mike McKenzie's shop, actually, and offered to help fix the thing in my time frame. What we had to work with or whatever, I opted out on that deal. I said it would be quicker to get my other car ready to go. It's just kind of under evaluation right now, Joe, as far as what we want to do with it. The front clip's bent, and it's hit in the center section a little bit, and we'll have to see what we can do. But kudos to Gary Crooks. He called and offered to come down to Mike McKenzie's shop to help us get the thing fixed. I opted out on it just because of the time frame, what I had to work with and whatnot. We could get the other car ready to go, which we're ready to go Friday night to go for Oyster Bed for the 150. So it's going to sit in the shop here for a little bit. We'll, after the dust settles, we got three big races coming up, Oyster Bed, Petty, and of course the IWK 250, and we'll see where we are after that, after things calm down here a little bit.
Yeah, you need a little breathing time now that you got the other car ready to go. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that other car not the two-time winner of the IWK 250, that car?
It's actually once. It won it in 2015. It's a McColl car we bought off of Sean Tucker back a few years ago. And hopefully we can apply what we learned from the Port City stuff, see if we can apply it to this guy here and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, you never know, right? Mike builds a great car, and so does Port City. To have the best of both worlds, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty cool. Like I say, the support I got was actually unreal. Darren Butcher came before the race was even over in Halifax. He offered me a car for Oyster Bed. Robbie McLean offered me a car. Randy Miller offered me a car. It was like it was pretty good and pretty overwhelming, actually, to have the support to get back for the next week. But I opted out and I'm getting this old guy ready to go, and myself and the crew, Jansen and Cameron and John Mark, even had Tyler Smith and Kevin Smith over helping me one night getting the seat in and stuff like that. It's boys rally together and you know, really appreciate all the help, that's for sure.
You got to love it. There, we're with Kent Vincent tonight, driver of the number 8 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. And Kent had a real bad wreck. If you just tuned in, he had a real bad wreck last time out. But he's got the other car all ready to go. Do you got to get any test laps on this one, Kent, or is it pretty well good to go? You can just go to practice and take her from there.
Oh, we're going to go down and see Bill Kenny, see if we can get the track opened up for us to get a couple laps on. Usually Tuesday night practice is opened up for the local guys. I think that's an open tour practice as well. We're allowed to go down to that, so we'll go down and see what we forgot to tighten up and stuff and see where we are. So anyway, we'll see what we can do for Tuesday night.
You got to love a home track race. I know you cut your teeth there at Oyster Bed Speedway, but do you feel the increased pressure when you're running at home? You got family, friends, sponsors. You got everybody there, and everybody wants to win.
Home track is fun. The pressure is just kind of what you put on yourself. You got great guys there. You got Darren McKinnon, Jonathan Hick, and Dylan Gosby, the whole bunch. We all want to win there. That's our own backyard, and it's great to win out of there. We all cut our teeth in that place. We all know it like the back of our hand, and just we want to go down there and do well. So we put pressure on ourselves, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, and a lot of it. And, you know, you've had a good career in this sport. You're one of the guys that you pretty well got to mark down in that favorites list. Would you say, Kent, that this is going to be your best opportunity to win? I know two IWK 250s is unheard of to win, and you've done that, so you know Riverside's a good track. Would you take PEI and put it a little higher on the list for chances to win?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I mean, this is, we've just, like I say, this is where we cut our teeth. But at the same time, you have the local dogs there that are ready to go, like Greg Proud and Darren McKinnon and Boy Zerv. They're pumped for this stuff. This is their deal. We all want to win there. So the backyard, I just hope an Islander can take it home. That's all.
Cool stuff. And blow those clouds out of there and that rain. Get that stuff out of there and have a super race next weekend. We really hope to be out there. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We can definitely say we're going to be there in August. But this little kerfuffle it's been a big, big hit to us. I feel like we hit the wall, bud.
Yeah, no doubt. But actually, Joe, they did make the call. They made the right call. It started raining here yesterday at noon, and it's been raining here ever since. Just a miserable weekend, a long weekend. So I hope you guys can get stuff sorted out and get here for next weekend, and we'll put on a good show for you all.
Absolutely. I don't disagree at all. That was the call. I know I was watching the weather all weekend, and I'm going, you know, after the call was made, Kent, we all hope that it does rain when you make the call, and sure enough, it did. It's been a deluge out there. We've been fortunate here in Ontario, been treated to a beautiful long weekend. I can tell you what, this weather's heading your way. We're in for a good one next weekend at Oyster Bed Speedway on Saturday night.
Well, I hope you're right. I just want to give a shout-out to Johnny Garnier, the car owner. I know he was pretty disappointed last week in the mess that we got into. He poured a lot of time and effort into this whole deal with Trevor Lamb and him and the Tire Canada.ca and Direct Tire. When you're here next weekend, drop into Summerside Chrysler Dodge and look for a truck. If you need a truck, it was for those guys. We wouldn't be doing what we're doing either. So Warren Ellis and all the crew in there, going to see them guys. Shout out to my work, Standard Aero, giving me the week off, course vacation time, whatever. And PEI Potatoes and ACT Hydraulics, Connor Glass and Sapphire Roof. Just give them guys a shout out when you're over here. So. Anyway, appreciate the phone call, Joe.
Absolutely. Kent Vincent, thanks so much for the time. You get a little bit of rest and get ready to go win yourself a race, my boy.
We'll be ready to go. Thanks, Joe.
You bet. That's Kent Vincent, driver of the number 8 out in PEI. I'm telling you what, backup car or not, that backup car will work as good as the primary. Those guys are true short track professionals. A lot of guys would have thrown the towel in. When you destroy one of these race cars, they got a lot of money into them. And when you destroy one, it's really super hard to stand back and, you know, say, okay, well, I just built another one. I got another one. Takes a lot. Takes a lot of manpower. Takes a lot of money. And those guys definitely go right to it and get things done. It's going to be cool to see that race next weekend, the Oyster Bed Speedway 150, the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. You don't want to miss it. If you're anywhere close to that island, you do not want to miss that race. We are going to throw it back to Toronto now. Got to get you up to date on some of the news and highlights that you may have missed over the last hour and a half or so. We'll get you up to date on that. And then we're going to be back with you for hour number 2. Have a look at who we got coming up in hour 2. We got Rick Verburn. He had a win at Delaware. We got Austin Terrio. He's going to go for his cup debut. And we're even going to sneak in a little bit of time with Brandon White. He was in that Pindy's race just yesterday. Came away with a top 10 finish. I know we're looking forward to catching up with him as well. We'll be back. Stay with us. 90 seconds.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things
big run.
Racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off too.
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight live on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in. It's not the two Joes tonight, no. The one Joe, the Joe Jr. kind of Joe. He is spotting for the number 81 of Andrew Grizel. The super late models are in at Sauble Speedway. They are celebrating 50 years of speed this year, 50 years. They opened the gates this weekend, a double date. They had a doubleheader last night and, of course, tonight. That's where Junior is. He's out there spotting for Andrew Grizel in that number 81. We'll try and get you an update before the end of the show to find out what's happening at Sauble Speedway. But let's get back to the hotline, and let's welcome in a guy that, he's got checkered flags all over him. He won at Delaware Speedway on Saturday night. Rick Verburn, driver of the number 21 Superstock. He did it. He did it in style with that Spark Power machine, and we got him on the hotline. What's going on, Ricky?
Not too much. How are you, Joe?
Doing fantastic, my friend. How did that feel getting victory lane once again?
Well, it was a long time coming. It seemed like this season we've been working really, really hard with Brian Thomas and all the crew guys, and we've kind of struggled coming out of the gate, really. Second, third place finishes, but it doesn't seem like we quite got a rhythm yet with the weather the way it was and everything else. But we hit stride last night, and we're hopefully not going to look back now.
Yeah, well, and you know what? That's what happens, right, Rick? The pressure's on to get that first win of the season. Soon as you get it, there's two things that'll happen. The momentum will start carrying you. The other thing that'll happen is, that it just sort of feels like you should be able to go do it again and again. And knowing you guys and how hard you're working at it, you probably got a cluster coming up.
Yeah, well, we really hope so. It's always nice to get that first win for a new sponsor, too, in Spark Power. And I had a phone call with Richard Jackson, who's my contact there last night, and we were both, pretty excited. And we shared a beer kind of over the phone, if you will. But to get that first win for a new sponsor is always big, and I think there'll be lots more to come, and we certainly hope so.
Well, if you haven't seen the release today, get to racetimeradio.com. Have a look at it. You'll see a picture of Rick and a whole herd of your crew and family and friends with the Canadian flag, of course, Canada Day weekend. Great shot, I got to tell you, from Delaware Speedway. Looks like you guys had a blast.
Yeah, it's certainly awesome to have your family in Victory Lane. I mean, there's nothing in the world better than that. I got two little kids, 7 and 4, and to see that, for them to hold up that flag, and they got even to talk a little bit on the mic, and it hits you right in the feelings, and it's when you're racing, it takes a lot of time away from family, but it's certainly awesome when they can be there to witness it.
Man, that's what it's all about, sharing it with the family, friends, sponsors, the whole deal, and all of those fans in the grandstands at Delaware. Looked like a pretty good crowd there Saturday night.
Yeah, it was. And our race, we were down a couple cars. There's been a few wrecks, but everybody I talked to thereafter, I got to sneak up to the stands to sit with that family to watch the race. And everybody was talking about how good of a show it was. It was a really heated battle between the top four or five cars in the closing laps, for sure. And, we got out front and didn't look back, and it was really a confidence booster to beat that one car. He's been really, really good all year. Trevor Culver, he won last Friday and won again at Chicago on Saturday. And it's nice to finally get that win, to make that statement that you're there too. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
Sure is. I know I caught the race on Fans Choice from Jukasa, and watching the Super Stocks go there probably wasn't the best race for you that night.
No, he certainly struggled. I sat down with David White and DJ and I, we all sat down together and kind of decided we were going to go there with something that was a little bit unorthodox to see if it would work for the Nationals. And I think we just missed it by a little bit, and we qualified decent and over-adjusted after qualifying, and it killed all our speed through the center of the corner. And I know I had Buddy Joe up there looking out for me up top, and was kind of pulling on him to see if we could do anything different. And he's like, man, I think you're doing all you can. But we, you hung in there to finish 13th, definitely not where you want to be, but brought the car home in one piece, and we learned a lot. And we'll go back to the Nationals with a lot better car off the trailer, I believe.
And that's the key, right, Rick? If you're going to learn, that was the time to learn it. And you want to pay the dividends when the race is the biggest it possibly can be. Sounds like you guys are moving in the right direction, coming off a win at Delaware Speedway on Saturday night. Take us back to the race Saturday night. Where'd you roll off? We know you won it. Where did you start that baby?
So we had a really good car in practice, and the timing scoring wasn't working, and I thought the car felt really good, and I wasn't sure exactly where we shook out. And we went out and qualified, and we put her on the stick, so we were certainly excited about that. That's the third pole in a row here, so it's very very good for the guys to get those poles. And then because of the way the speedway works there, we do an invert, so we end up starting the feature six. So we went into, it was probably lap three or four, and I went in the corner and had to brake really hard to not get into the nine car, and I actually ended up spinning myself, and we restarted at the back and worked our way up, just kind of knocked one car off at a time, and we were in there in the hunt for the end, and a later race caution, and we never looked back from there. So it was a really, really good night. Car had tons of speed, and we were really excited.
A little bit of spark in that power, was there?
That's 100% right. We had a good conversation with WMI guys this week, and we went back to Delaware with a totally different setup, obviously, than we had at Jukasa, and I think we hit our stride there. We got something. We found something that works really well, and we're going to continue to build off of that. I think we got some speed to find there yet, and it's something I'm pretty excited about. Those guys at WMI are just unreal when they can figure something out on paper and make it work on the track, you know. So
yeah, you got to love it when a plan comes together. I'll bet you DJ, with that success, old DJ, he's going to be saying, hey, Ricky, what'd you figure out? I need some stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be setting up a test day for WMI before those Nationals come about, and I'm sure DJ wants to get more seat time in that late model as well, and I think they got some stuff figured out for that car as well, and you can bet your butt that DJ will be in the hunt for that $75,000.
Oh, yeah, you put that kind of dough out there, DJ will be just like a kid in a candy store. He'll be out there trying to swipe it all, and that's the cool part. Those Nationals are going to be off the hook at Jukasa. That's really going to be quite an eventful weekend. It was also APC time at Delaware Speedway. I missed it. I was at Sauble Speedway, but man, oh man, that Brandon Watson comes away with another victory. He's two for two. But have a look at the top three. The kids are up there still doing a good job. That series is really lighting the lamp.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, that Jake Sheridan can wheel a race car, and it's fun to watch him. He's just super, super smooth, and he's in that top three every race. He's going to be there. You know, you got to keep knocking off those finishes. It's hard to get that first one, but like you alluded to earlier, I think once he does, he's going to open the floodgates, and those guys have been working extra hard, and it's fun to see Jake. I've watched him kind of come up through the ranks, and I haven't ever had a chance to race against him, but he was really, really good in the super stock, and he jumped into that late model and just took off flying. Just awesome to see those young kids getting success like that. with a good team built around him. And he's got a good, wholesome name, you know, too, and good pedigree. So it's cool to watch.
Kind of a chip off the old block, isn't he? Just like his old man, Ronnie.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah, good stuff, man. It was an exciting weekend at Delaware Speedway. What's up next for you, Ricky Verburn?
Well, we race, our next race is coming up on July the 13th. And then so we'll run Friday night and then jump on the 401 and head straight to Toronto. So we're there Saturday morning for the Pindy Series. And I missed this weekend, obviously, in Chaudier. I guess Andrew came home fourth, had a pretty decent car, and just kind of battled it on the high side. But well, I look forward to that, getting back into the groove of that. And we were really, really good at Indy last year, so I'm really excited to go there and crew for that car. So hopefully we can come off with a win Friday night at Delaware, and that's also a qualifier for the Nationals, and then head on over to Toronto and see what we can do there.
No, not a dull moment for you, is there? Summer is just jam-packed like it is.
Yeah, that's for sure. I have a great family that stands behind me to let me do all this stuff, I just love racing. You know, you eat, sleep, and breathe it, so we'll do it while we can, and I'm actually going to bring my wife and my boy to Toronto with us that night, and they can see the Pinty's race there firsthand, so that'll be kind of neat, too, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it sounds like a dynamite weekend planned. You got family, you got fun, you got racing. Man, it's good to be alive.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And we even get to hang out with Joey a little bit, right? So he always keeps things interesting.
I bet, yeah. I see him a ton, right? And every day is always an adventure with my boy.
Yeah, that's for sure. We had he actually ended up spending the night here after the Jocasa rain out, and so we might have had a few drinks together and kind of did some bench racing and had a lot of fun, and then went back the next day, and we won that race with Andy Ranger, so that was awesome.
Yeah, I got a hat here. I keep stealing them out of, right? Every time he gets one, I scoop it.
Yeah, it's unreal, I'll tell you. It's you win as a driver, and you never quite understand how the guys devote so much time to a team until you're a crew member, and then you understand it all. You know, it's just as much fun to win those races as it is for me to win races, and it's just a mark on all the hard work that goes into it throughout the shop, and I get over to WMI and DJK to help out as much as I can. And when you go out and you win races like that at the top level, it's pretty awesome to be a part of it.
Well, and I'll tell you what, that's what fans pay their hard-earned money to go watch, and it's that dedication by the whole team, by the whole crew, and to see the driver go out there. Really, that's what fans are paying for, and you guys are lighting the lamp. You're doing it as a crew guy. You're also doing it as a driver. Rick, congratulations on the win at Delaware Speedway. That number 21 not only looks good, but you're proving it, man. It even goes.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's a really exciting time to be driving that car, and I got to thank David White at White Motorsports for putting the setups under it, and Spark Power and all my other sponsors for keeping it rolling. You just can't ask for a better situation, and we're in the hunt, and that's all you can ask for. I think we cut the points lead down. We're tied for second with three other guys at minus 14, so we'll work at that over the next few weeks and qualifying and stuff to squeeze those points leads down, and hopefully we can be in the hunt when it comes to the end of the season.
Well, we're going to follow you all the way through, brother. Good luck in it. You got some stiff competition at Delaware, but you've proven it. Yeah, you're up for the task, and that's kind of cool stuff. Thanks so much for the time tonight, Rick. You have a good one. Celebrate that victory. Happy Canada Day, and we'll see you at the track real soon.
And thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me on, and happy Canada Day to you and your family and all the listeners. And we're going to spend the day with the family tomorrow, and we'll be back at racing before we know it.
You betcha, buddy. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
You bet. Rick Verburn, driver of the number 21. You can catch him at Delaware Speedway. And when do you see DJ Kennington in that Castrol Edge Dodge, or maybe Andrew Ranger in the 27, that Mopar Dodge? You got to know that there's guys like Rick Verburn on that crew, helping those guys. Not only do they race when they get their opportunity, they get a little day off, they get a little spare time. Not so. They set that stuff aside, and they pitch in and help their buddies out, and it's all part of it. Kind of cool to see. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear from the winner at Sauble Speedway last night, the first winner of 2019. Got a clip with Marvin Freiberger I think you'll enjoy. We're going to play that on the other side of the break. And we got Austin Terrio coming up. Austin is going to make his Cup debut in just a couple of weeks. And we're going to check in with him tonight, live on Race Time. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Sean Tucker, driver of the 52 A.L. Gullison Disaster Cleanup Chevrolet, and you're listening to me on Racetime Radio.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grisdale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. It's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway, Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide, Saturday, July 13th, for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca. Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load. Specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Don't get stuck waiting for your machinery and materials to be moved. Call Atlantic Tilt Load in Dartmouth or St. John to ask about 24-hour hotshot service. They have the equipment, drivers, and experience to get your cargo where it needs to be swiftly and efficiently. Can provide logistics planning, including escort vehicles and special move permits. They've been moving heavy industrial equipment throughout Canada and the U.S. since 1991, including overweight and over-dimensional shipments. For your next industrial heavy move, call Atlantic Tilt Load.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track.
And back.
It's Race Time Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in here on Sirius XM Channel 167. And, of course, racetimeradio.com. What do you say we get back to the hotline? I got to tell you, I'll play Marvin Freiberger after we're done talking here. How about Austin Terrio? I'm looking on social media this morning, having a look through, catching up on some news and stuff. And I look down and I see Austin Terrio's post. He's going to go cup racing. Man, oh, man, I'll tell you what, I was excited to see that. And I'm even more excited to have him live right now on the hotline. Let's welcome in Austin Terrio. What's going on, kiddo?
Hey, guys, I'm doing good this evening. How are you?
Fantastic. Man, this is great news, Austin. You're going to make your cup debut. How about it?
It's awesome. Awesome news. You know, I tell everybody, Loudoun is it's technically my home track, even though my house is 7 hours north of there. I used to go there a lot as a kid, and Remember sitting in the grandstands when Mark Martin won. Remember, you know, year after year, camping out there with my grandparents and stuff, and never at the time even thinking that I'd have the opportunity to run a cup car there. Especially, you know, looking back at the past couple of years, the ups and downs, you know, with the crash and everything like that in 2015, and then the ARCA stuff, having a lot of success, and you know, it looked like it was never going to happen. It looked like maybe the opportunity would never come to go cup racing, but really thankful for the opportunity with Rick Ware and everybody else that made it happen.
Well, and you know what really, really makes it happen, Austin, is determination, guts, and hard work, elbow grease, all of that, and not giving up. And Austin Terrio, I know you don't give up. I know you've got more talent. You got more talent probably in your toenails than some guys that are in cars that really shouldn't be in cars, and you should be. I'll tell you what, this is exciting stuff. I see the rendering, the 52. Not only is that car going to be on the racetrack with you in it, but it looks amazing, man. Good job on the design.
Well, thanks. It's the 52, and if anybody knows about my history, running the ARCA series with Ken Schrader back in 2017, we won a championship with the 52, and obviously different car owner in the Cup Series, but still a lot of history there, and it's awesome to be making my cup start in the 52. You know, it doesn't mean anything at the end of the day from a standpoint of performance, but it just feels good to strap back into the 52. You saw the design, and a lot of that came together, you know, 3 months ago. I didn't have any idea that I'd have the opportunity to run Loudon as the you know, basically making my cup debut, but had a interesting phone call with the marketing team over at Bangor Savings Bank, and they're really excited about stepping into NASCAR. This is going to be their first ever NASCAR race, and it's amazing because they're in the Cup scene, and the bank is located in Maine, but they're all over New England. It's great to be partnered with them. Been working with them past couple years. We did a late model race a couple years ago at the Oxford 250, but things are progressing quickly.
Austin, this is truly great news. Take us through, like, what's it feel like to finally be able to say, you know what, I'm going to go make my cup start. What's it feel like? Does it feel like, man, you've conquered a mountain?
It does. I mean, I tell drivers all the time that ask me advice, you know, drivers that are racing late models, legends, even some ARCA and Can-Am stuff, they ask me questions. What does it take to make it all the way? And you know, we both know there's really no set path. But you hit the nail on the head. It is about determination. If you quit, then it's never going to happen for you. Or if you start giving up, it's not going to happen for you. So I've had an interesting opportunity, I guess, to see both sides of the equation. You know, working with drivers that are kind of up and coming through the late model ranks, the legend ranks, and you know, even some ARCA stuff, and kind of to be an example for them that, look, you're going to have hiccups along the way, and things aren't going to go smoothly, you know, if that's how you want to look at it. And if they do go smoothly for you, then awesome. But every driver's been through ups and downs and had issues and wrecks, and, you know, looking back at 2015 and seeing what happened there in the Truck Series race, kind of a difficult situation. I mean, a lot of people probably would have never thought I would have made it to where I am right now, but goes to show that you can never give up, and you want to always surround yourself with people that are positive and keep encouraging you, because you know, it can get discouraging sometimes, but like I said, I've just been so busy pursuing racing for myself, but also just kind of working with other drivers that hopefully everybody's going to be seeing on the scene over the next several years.
Now, I know you have been very busy and keeping things going. I believe I've seen somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong here, you and Joey Coulter are actually working together and mentoring a lot of race teams.
Yeah. Joey and I have a business, you know, kind of working on some coaching with younger drivers. And, I mean, they don't even have to be young. There's some older drivers, too. The interesting thing is, experience is key in racing. And, you know, whether you're old or young, the more experience you have, you know, the more feedback you can give. And I'm also doing some driver management too, through a different company, and you're really excited about that. It's just I've always been a big a big supporter of drivers that have been successful and that have, you know, the knowledge and experience. I'm for giving back, and I think more drivers have to do that. More drivers that have been successful, you know, from trucks all the way up to the Cup Series, have to pay attention to, you know, who's coming and who's going to fill the hole when we're all gone, and we need to give back. So got a lot going on right now, and just excited to have the opportunity to be racing in the Cup Series. You know, I don't know what's going to happen from here on out. You know, I feel like there's probably going to be some other opportunities that come my way, and, you know, just got to keep plugging.
Absolutely. And if you knew what tomorrow would bring, man, you'd be a rich man, because nobody does. I know we keep hoping and working towards tomorrow and doing what we want to do, but doesn't always work out that way. It's kind of cool when it does. It just proves that if you keep focused and keep at it, good things will happen, and they're definitely happening for Austin Terrio. What's the season been like for you so far, Austin? Like behind the wheel, what have you been up to?
Not a lot going on behind the wheel. Went to Daytona with Ricky Benton and did some truck racing for the 92. Went to Martinsville. I'm no longer racing with them right now, but just mainly turning the corner, putting all of my focus, 100% focus on the Cup Series stuff right now. And, you know, it's taken several months to put this Loudon race together, but feeling really positive about the rest of 2019 and then even going into 2020. And then, like I talked about before, have an office at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, just working with some other drivers and, you know, coaching them, helping them progress in their career. And it's keeping me busy. It's really keeping me busy. I'm honored that people see me as somebody that can give them, you know, honest advice. And really didn't expect when I first came to North Carolina back in 2013 that I'd be in the position that I am today, as far as just giving people support and advice. Because I'll tell you, any industry you're in, there's so much competition, there's so much information that's going around there. And, you know, the reality is, sometimes I think less than 50% of the information is actually true. So you always gotta, and I've learned this, you know, firsthand. I've been successful because I've surrounded myself with the right people, and mm-hmm. continue to surround myself with people that pump me up and can guide me along the way. But, you know, that's a major factor in somebody that continues to progress in their career. It's not just them alone. It's the people they have around them that help them.
We're with Austin Terrio tonight, making his Cup debut, I believe, July 21st, right? 21st?
Yeah, correct. July 21st. And you brought up another interesting point as far as people say, well, how do you make things happen? I'll tell you one way to have them not happen is to sit around and wait for things to happen, because we've all been guilty of trying that in one form or another. You know, if you win a race or if you win a championship at a local level, chances are somebody's not going to call you and ask you to come drive for them. You've got to be your own advocate. You've got to, you know, continue to meet people. You've got to put yourself out there and make things happen, because I think the lesson we've all learned in life is that things just don't happen by themselves. You've always got to be pushing, and the harder you can push and the more doors you can knock on, the more opportunities are going to come your way.
Absolutely. Well said. And the other thing that I want to add to that is, if you do the same thing day after day, you're going to get the same result day after day. So if you're not having any kind of positive things happening, but yet you continue to do the same thing, you're going to end up with the same result, right?
Exactly true. Exactly put. Well put.
Yeah, you got to get out there and experience things. How are you going to prepare for that debut on July 21st? What can you do to get acclimated with the number 52 and get ready for that Cup debut?
Well, I'll spend some time at the shop, you know, getting fitted for the seat, making sure the car feels good for me. I know how important it is. You know, when you're driving a race car, you've got to basically feel like you're a part of the car and it's not separate from you. it's been a while since I've driven a race that long, actually. It's going to be quite a change for me. But I'm up for the challenge and just going to be, you know, doing any sort of sim racing I can. At the end of the day, it's not like we can go there and test a couple weeks before like you would for a late model race, but I've got quite a few starts there at Loudon, so I think all of those races that I've done there in the past are going to be important for me, whether it was Xfinity cars, trucks, Can-Am cars, and late models. Every single lap I've turned there, I think, is going to help me prepare.
How about friends in the garage, Austin? I can imagine you know a lot of the guys that you're going to race against in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. But how about friends in the garage that you're going to be able to maybe walk over to their pit and say, hey, what can I do about this? Or look for some advice. You got many friends in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, if you look at the past, I think, 2014, 2015, racing for some pretty impressive guys that have been in the Cup Series. I mean, Dale's not racing anymore when I race for Junior Motorsports, but I got, you know, Brad and worked with Harvick a little bit. And I don't know, Archie St-Hilaire is actually somebody that I respect a lot. He's not a driver, obviously, but, you know, he's from Maine and he's an owner in the garage that's put a lot of time and effort into building his own team up. And I know Corey and Matt DiBenedetto drove for him last year and whatnot. So, you know, these drivers are no strangers to me. And if I have questions, I'll just go up and ask them. And they can either tell me the truth or they don't. You know, they don't have to tell me the truth. But because I've been there, I've had rookies come in, whether it was the ARCA series or, you know, the truck series and whatever, ask me for advice. And, you know, it's a decision you have to make because you never know. You never know if you say something that helps somebody out and they get an opportunity in a better car, they may be running side by side with you one day. So it's all information that you have to decide whether you want to give out or not.
And let's face it, if they don't give you the right advice, then they got to put up with you for the rest of the day because you won't know what you're doing.
Absolutely, yeah. You'll either be causing wrecks or cautions or being in the way. So I do think that drivers are usually willing to go out of their way to give advice. I mean, what do they say? The rising tide lifts all ships. So the more you can help, I think the drivers that need it, the drivers that don't have the experience, a lot of times it comes back around in the end and helps you. So have a lot of respect for the veterans of the sport and everybody in the Cup Series that has had success. And, you know, we have the right expectations for the race. You know, the goal is to just run all the laps possible, you know, get as much exposure for you know, the sponsors that are helping me out as possible, and just trying to get my Cup approval so that I'm approved for all the tracks and in 2020 and ready for any other opportunities that come my way.
You gotta love it. I know you're excited. You gotta be over the moon to be in your shoes, but I gotta tell you, fans, even guys like me in this industry, we're excited for you for this opportunity. It's a situation, Austin, where you've earned it, and you've earned your way to have this opportunity, as opposed to, you know, sometimes guys, they're able to money it to get in there to get an opportunity. This is cool to see where when you get a guy that's actually earned his way, to have the opportunity is a cool thing. Today, the Cup Series looks different than what it did a few years ago. NASCAR, I believe, has done a really good job of getting some more parity amongst those cars. The haves and the have-nots seem to be closer now on the speedway. How about from your vantage point? Do you see that as well, where it looks like it's going to be a more competitive environment?
Yeah, I think it's headed in that direction. If you look at the mile-and-a-half tracks with the horsepower they're running, tighter packs, you know, the drivers do say it's a little bit harder to pass because part of having a package that has a lot of drag and a big spoiler means that what goes on behind you or the air that the car punches behind you, it's very difficult to run. But the next couple years, I'm sure you'll see the sport heading even more in that direction. Anybody you talk to, you know, knowing what's coming out there in 2021, I know there's a lot more questions that have to be answered. But I think they'll mainly keep the package the same and try to just continue to make sure that teams that are running, you know, 30th place every week at least are closer in the pack. And I think you can do that. We know not everybody agrees with it, but I just think that over time people are going to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe when it's all said and done, we'll look back 5, 10, 15 years down the road and say, you know what, this was a good decision. But I think any change over time, you're going to have the people that question it at first. And so we have to respect the voices that are, you know, opposed to it. But I think we just got to give it a couple more years and see where the evolution takes us.
Yeah, and usually the guys that are opposed to change like that are usually the guys that are winning right now, right? They win, and they don't want to change a thing. No, don't change it. Everything's going right for us, finally. And those are usually the guys that the pushback comes from.
Yeah, because if you look back, 20th place or 25th place, those guys that are closer to the front, I can guarantee you that they're happy that this package is in place. And you know, maybe the guys that are running fifth or tenth that have to drive their butts off and are used to running up front in clean air and whatnot, I think those are particularly the people that are complaining.
Yeah, no doubt. Man, this is going to be cool to see you out there. Sponsor-wise, who you got surrounding you? Who's going to be on top of the box for you?
Well, really excited to have, you know, all New England companies supporting me in my first cup start. Like I told you, 10 minutes ago, we've got Bangor Savings Bank, you know, an awesome, awesome organization based in Maine. We've got Cross Insurance. But Daigle Oil Company, a smaller company located in northern Maine, which is where I'm from. And we have E.J. Prescott, you know, a longtime supporter of mine. And, you know, those companies, I guess, represent New England in general, and it goes to show that anybody up there, even though the road is hard, it's possible to go from New England all the way to the Cup Series. But it takes time. It takes a lot of effort, and definitely some ups and downs. But just honored to be in the position to represent Maine and New England, and whether it's the fans or the companies, you know, we'll do the best we can, and just take it one race at a time.
Well, the final thing I want to say to you, Austin, tonight, I want you to go and ingrain this in your memory, okay? Think of yourself standing in Victory Lane at New Hampshire holding that big lobster.
Well, we'll do. And you know, just one last takeaway, I think anybody listening, whether you're a driver or not, never quit, you know. One of the things that I learned quickly in my NASCAR career was that you never know when your last race is going to be. Whether you're in good equipment or bad equipment, you've got to cherish every single opportunity that you get. Like I said, because you never know when your last chance will be, whether it's a decision you make or whether it's a decision somebody else makes or whether it's a decision that comes up by chance. Just cherish the moment and do the best you can.
Yeah, and make the most of it, and definitely that's what you're going to do. Thanks for not quitting, buddy. This is going to be awesome. You made my day, and I know there's a ton of race fans out there that absolutely can't wait to watch you in that Cup debut, and hopefully many, many more after that. We got to thank you for your time tonight. Incredible. Great catching up with you. We haven't had you on in far too long. We got to get you on here more, bud.
Absolutely, guys. Hopefully, there's more news upcoming. Let's keep a positive mindset and race off into the future. Thanks again. Have a great evening.
You bet. That's Austin Theriault. You can catch him out in the number 52 in the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series coming up July 21st, New England. You don't want to miss it. That is truly good news. We're going to hit a break, our final break of the night. When we come back, we're going to check in with Brandon White. Brandon was in that Pinty's race at Chatelier. Know him from years ago. He is a great short track racer, and he came away with the top 10. We're going to check in with him on the other side of the break. That with some clips. We still got lots more to come. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tiltload, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia. It's one of Canada's most prestigious races to win, featuring the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour and NASCAR star Kenny Wallace for the 2019 IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Canada's ultimate short track race, Saturday, July 20th at Riverside International Speedway. Join us at the track or live flag to flag on racetimeradio.com. Pre-race coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. The IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis, live on Racetime Radio. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
New to SiriusXM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, SiriusXM 103. Or listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next. Only on Racetime Radio.
Ontario's APC Series, presented by Grisdale, returns to the track that's tough to tame for round two at Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th, it's the London Recreational 100, live from Flamborough Speedway. Saturday, July 13th. Pre-race coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us at the track or live on Racetime Radio worldwide. Saturday, July 13th for the London Recreational 100. For tickets and info, get to flamboroughspeedway.ca.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Ah, there we go. We are back here on Racetime Radio. Look at little kid bringing us back. I love that song. Man, he's got some good tunes. But I digress. Happy Canada Day, everybody. Hope you're having a good time this weekend. I'll tell you, if you're in Ontario, you got some beautiful weather. It's been gorgeous up here on Lake Huron shoreline. It's been two great nights of racing at Sauville Speedway. They are on track right now as we speak. And the super late models are in at the beach celebrating 50 years. How about that? So cool. Of course, a racetrack near and dear to my heart. Back out there helping Paul Crissell, the owner of the Speedway, and a racetrack I used to own for 14 years. Love that facility, the people, just incredible. It's like going home last night, seeing a lot of the different race teams. It was night one last night. Things getting underway on June the 29th. Going to Victory Lane was in the Superstock division, and it is a Roots Gas Bar Superstocks this year. Randy Root came on and sponsored the guys as a title sponsor. Unprecedented support. Really cool to see in the Superstocks. And it was a guy that, you know, in Ontario here, a familiar guy, goes to Victory Lane at Sauville last night, Marvin Freiberger. And I got a chance to speak with Marvin after the race. Here's what he had to say. We're with Marvin Freiberger now, winner of tonight's opening Root Superstock feature. Marv, take us through that race. Man, the 37 was flying tonight.
Yes, the car was flying. Junior Hanley helped me a ton, and he helped me a lot in driving. He helped me a lot in setup, and the car was good. The car was really good.
Looks like a competitive field out there this year. What's your thoughts on that?
The guys are having a little tough time. Kenny Group's competitive. Other than that, the guys, they're all trying, and they're all doing a good job. They're really doing it, and we're going to have a lot of fun this year. And, yeah, it should be good field. Tomorrow night we'll see who's all coming and see how it all works out. But, yeah, for sure.
Back with Easter Seals again this year, my man. You do some fantastic work with that and the community. It's been a good partnership.
Yeah, it real sure has. We've gave in the last 9 years $81,637 away to Easter Seals and the families that are struggling, single moms, single dads, and we've already gave quite a bit away already this year and haven't even earned it yet. So we're trying to help everyone we can within reason. And we're going to struggle because the more people know about it, the more people are going to want or need something. And we want to help as much as we can, but we can't go hog wild. But I got a lot of good sponsors like Weber Contracting, Mersa Bank, Cal Tire, Tire Discounter. I got a lot of good sponsors, a lot of guys that really work along with me. Like, there's so many, I can't name them all, but, I mean, there's a lot. So I appreciate everything they do, and I really appreciate being able to run up here and have some fun.
Same crew guys this year, Marv, on the number 37.
Yeah, by all means. The same Ron McDonald and Mark Billington, and the only way to have it. Like, the guys are so dedicated. They help me at night. They're dedicated at the track. We got one track mind is working on the car and keeping as much as we can ahead of ourselves, and everything's turning out good so far.
Okay, race one, you got it. You still got a bunch more ahead of you. Man, things just starting up. What is going to be success for you this year?
Well, I'm really like to have a championship. I've run now like 10 years, and I struggled. I've come in second lots of times, third lots of times, and I really like to have a championship, but I want to do it in the right manner. I want to be able to do it fair and square. And just have a good car and do a good job. That's what it's all about. Having fun and having a good car, and it all goes hand in hand. It's just like NASCAR, guys, like everything else. I really appreciate everything you guys done, Joe. I appreciate you coming on board here and helping the track and guys or Gressels and doing everything they do. So it's working out really well.
He is a cool guy. I'll tell you what, Marvin Freiberger is the real deal. You can catch him at Sauble Speedway, but this guy shows up at a lot of Ontario racetracks. He does a super job with Easter Seals and everything. You get a chance, and you're in a pit area after the race, whatever, head over to the number 37, and his tagline is just like Larry the Cable Guy, get her done. He's that guy. You really enjoy meeting him. I want to play one other clip for you. We are working on getting Brandon White on here. I haven't talked to Brandon in a long, long time. It would be great to catch up with him tonight. He ended up with a top 10 finish at Chaudière just last night. So we're working on grabbing him. We're working on it. Let's hear from Steve Ecker, another longtime racer at Sauble Speedway. Came home in the top three, seen him in tech lane, thought I'd get a quick word. Here's Steve-O.
Yeah, not bad. We actually just came out to play around and test. Surprised that we kind of surprised ourselves a little bit. We got to put some new rubber on this thing. Maybe next weekend we'll come up with some new rubber and see what it'll do. But we had luck, too. I got some luck, and I always welcome luck.
Gotta love it when a plan comes together. I can see your dad. I can see your brother. Man, the crew looks the same. Yeah, so does the driver.
It does. We look the same. Okay, maybe a little older, a little rounder, you know. But, it was good. It's nice to come back here. It's what we want. We wanted to do, come back and hopefully just have some fun. It says right on there on my dash there, relax, have fun, right? And that's what we're going to try to do.
So competitiveness, how did it feel out there running around these other guys? How's the competition?
Not bad. I think we're mid-pack. I think we're lucky to get by with a third for the feature. I got to tweak on it some more, and I knew I was going to have to tweak on it some more. So there's probably two, three cars here that we're going to have to think about it to be able to get by them, let's say. So
you're a veteran.
Yeah. The ages are going the wrong way. That's the problem. A veteran means I'm getting older, right? But 25, I guess it's been 25 years or so coming here. I enjoy the track. It fits me. We're going to try to be here as much as we can. If hopefully make the every night, but we'll see how everything goes.
Yeah, Steve is from down the Burlington way, down Burlington, Hamilton, down that area. Races at Sauble Speedway. You can catch him at Flamborough Speedway. He tours around a little bit. Good to see him back behind the wheel of a race car. And I'll tell you what, those super stocks of Sauble Speedway are going to put on a great show. Want to remind you, next weekend, the NASCAR Pro Late Model Sauble Speedway series. And they got a mini series put together. As a lot of the same guys that you see in the APC series are going to be able to come in and run this. It will have a NASCAR championship. And the race, the first race of that series, comes up next Saturday night at Sauble Speedway. I got a feeling that is going to be a dynamite mini series. And I got to tell you, next Saturday night is a pre-qualifier for the Canadian Short Track Nationals at Jukasa. Tonight, the Super Stocks are running 35 laps as a qualifier for the Jukasa race. But the Pro Late Models will also have a qualifier, and that is next Saturday night. You want to see a good show? You want to be at Sauble Speedway next Saturday night? That is going to be one coming right off the chip. Guys like Tim Ellis are going to be there. Jason Parker, Josh Stoddy. He showed great speed this weekend at Delaware Speedway. A lot of the big names, you're going to see them in that mini series. It's going to be off the hook. So if you get a chance and you're anywhere near Sauble Beach next weekend, you want to make it out to Sauble Speedway and have a look at that. Racing starts at 7 o'clock. Check it out. Let me see here. Okay, we're still working on Brendan. Haven't got him just yet. I know Sue's working hard at that. We do have some clips with some of the truck guys. Brent Moffitt, went to Victory Lane this weekend in the truck. Let's hear what he had to say about it.
We had a really good Chevy Silverado. Jerry and the guys gave me a fast truck and a drivable truck. And it's one thing to have speed. It's one thing to be able to move top to bottom and have speed everywhere you go. So pit stops, if you can make up ground, it's always a big plus. But I felt like we had a truck capable of passing trucks, especially on the long run. We didn't really fall off much, and I could get up to the fence and be able to have good speed. So I'll always take coming off pit road first, but I feel like a hell of a lot more than that went into winning this race.
That's last year's champion, remember. And Brett Moffitt was with a smaller team last year, now with GMS, right? The big team. A reporter asked him, what is the difference? How does it feel? How is it different? Here's what Brett had to say.
It's a huge difference. You know, we went from a single car small team to the mega team of the truck series and GMS, and it's just a lot bigger organization. You got teammates. There's a lot more personnel. You know, there's pluses and minuses to both situations, and it's just the way everything operates is different, and I need to adapt to that. As a driver, that's my job, to come in there and adapt to that. And then as a team within the organization, Jerry, myself, and the 24 guys, we need to be able to kind of do our own thing and communicate on our own level, but still work together with the other two truck teams that we have. So it's just a little bit different than what I was used to last year, but it's all going in the right direction. And I love having Sheldon Creed and Stuart Friesen as my teammates. I feel like they bring a lot to the table, and it's good to always have three trucks out there to bounce ideas off each other and try new packages.
Tell me this isn't going to be a off-the-hook Silverado 250 weekend at CTMP when these guys come back north of the border. It's going to be off the hook. I've been at every truck race with the exception of last year. Got diagnosed with cancer last year, and I was starting the treatments and so on, and I couldn't make the truck race last year. I vowed that if I made it through this cancer, I was going to never miss a truck race at CTMP again. It is such a good race. If you haven't checked out the Silverado 250 at CTMP, you got to do it. It is a race. road course. And I know if you're an oval guy, I'm an oval guy. You know, back in the day, everybody would say, well, the guys are coming up to the road course. And I'd say, I don't want a road course race kind of stuff. Ron Fellows years ago said, lick it. You got to check this out. I sat back, watched it, and I've been a fan ever since. Road course racing, those trucks, the NASCAR Pindy Series on CTMP, second to none. Thrill is an understatement. They got great viewing points. You can get tickets now for the Silverado 250 weekend. And while we're talking CTMP, I want to remind you, too, next weekend, we got the WeatherTech Series, only stop in Canada, comes up next weekend. Tickets are on sale for that event as well. So check it out. Get to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park and get to their website. Have a look at it. Silverado 250 is coming at us. It comes up in August. You don't want to miss it. We will have a lot more on it. And how about it? We even heard from Raphael tonight. Raphael Lazard, he's going to be in that race. We got a Canadian there. Alex Tagliani, I don't know. Are we going to see Alex in a truck? He sat atop the pole there, almost won it a couple of times. Andrew Ranger, who knows? How about maybe DJ Kennington? Maybe. So many potentials. We got so much to look forward to as the summer unfolds. But CTMP is going to play a major, major role at the end of the season. And you want to be at it. You don't want to miss it. It'll blow your socks off. One final clip for you. Doesn't look like we're going to get Brandon White. I was really hoping to. Wires crossed up. Something's going on. He did confirm, but we'll find out, and we'll get him on a future episode of Racetime Radio. But let's hear now from Cole Custer. He went to Victory Lane in the Xfinity Series this weekend. Have a listen.
Yeah, I mean, our car was pretty good all day. You know, the problem is it's never going to be absolutely perfect here. You know, the track is so slick and everything, but you have to have it, you know, the way you want and manageable. So it's it really changes a lot through a run, but you kind of – I really worked the brake bias a lot today trying to, you know, help the handling a little bit, and that helped us a lot. But it's really – I mean, we had a great car. I don't think anybody really had anything for us, so it was just we probably made little to no adjustments all day.
How about that? Fourth win this year for Cole Custer. He's lighting the lamp. And great to see. He's always exciting behind the wheel. But really good for him. Lots of races coming up. Everything's just getting started, really. This is the meet right now, this time of the season. You want to get to your local short track. You want to get out and tour around a little bit, too. We're excited to be our next live race. We're excited to bring you live coverage of the London Recreational 100 coming up, Flamborough Speedway on July the 13th. Then, of course, we head back out to Nova Scotia for the IWK 250, and we'll be bringing that coverage to you live. Another event you don't want to miss. Canadian race fans, you got to get to Riverside International Speedway. Kenny Wallace is coming in for that race. You hear us talk about it all the time here on Racetime Radio. It is Canada's ultimate short track race. It is a weekend that will that'll stay with you forever. It is just an amazing time. Also celebrating 50 years at Riverside International Speedway. And we'll have lots more on that. But you know what? We are plumb done out of time for tonight's program. Sure hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you tell your friends. Get them to tune in to Racetime Radio. And we will catch you next week on Racetime, same time. You don't want to miss it. And if you do, you got to go to iTunes, right? And you can download and listen to the whole program. But tune in live on SiriusXM Channel 167. That does it for me. Have a good week, everybody. Be safe. Get to a racetrack, and we'll catch you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a
message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.